We're in this series, and the idea is much like the parables of Jesus. Movies give us a story, and they give us lessons, things that we need to learn, biblical truths that we need to apply to our lives. Before we get into this week's talk, I want to mention something, because last week we talked about the importance of spiritual community and how much we need spiritual community. And one of the things that we dealt with that I just wanted to talk about, because there was a couple of people, first of all, thought that I was mad in the talk. And first of all, you've never seen me mad. You've known I'm mad, right? I wasn't angry. I just wanted to clear something up, because a lot of people feel like I gave an ultimatum. And the ultimatum was this: if you're not in a connection group and you don't want to go to a connection group, you need to go to another church. And I never said that. And I don't want anybody to feel that way. So I felt like I wanted to address this and just kind of clear it up for you so that you understand. My desire for all of us is that we all get into a connection group, every one of us. My goal and my desire is that every person that attends a Quest, that calls this their home church, will get into a connection group. But I also have this understanding that not everyone will. And that's kind of disappointing. I realize that. I realize it's a little bit disappointing that not everyone will, because it is so important and so good for everyone. I also know this, and this is what I was trying to warn about last week, is that people will come up with their own definitions of what spiritual community looks like. And when God has already defined for us what spiritual community looks like, that's found in Acts 2, 42 and through 47. You can look at it, it's on your notes, you can look at it later. But here's the problem that we face in this, and that is, if we don't accept God's definition of what spiritual community looks like, we will define spiritual community with our own preferences. That is a dangerous place for us to be. We don't want to, you can't live there. You can't come up with your own definition of what is right because it's your preference. What you'll end up with is a counterfeit community, a counterfeit spiritual community. It won't be something that gives you life. It'll be something that you have to work hard to manage. And so I just wanted to give you that warning as your pastor. I'm always going to encourage you to take a step out of your comfort zone. I'm always going to encourage you to take a step and get into a connection groups. I am not changing what I said. I just want to make sure I cleared up that so that you understood that there was no ultimatum given. If you're not in a connection group, we understand. But I'm going to keep pushing you. I'm going to keep trying to encourage you to take that step, because it is that important. There's a joy that comes out of spiritual community and doing life together. And there's a scripture that talks about it. I just want to mention it. It's found in Acts 2. And it says this: the believers had a single purpose and went to the temple every day. They were joyful and humble as they ate at each other's homes and shared their food. And there's this joy in doing life together that I want us to get. We are committed to doing life together, and through warm and stormy weather, where we found that we're there for one another. And I know that it's difficult to take a step and get into a community or a connection group, but I want to encourage you to do it, just because it is the best for us. It's the best for you. If you weren't here last week and you didn't hear the talk, you can go online and listen to it. I recommend that if you're not sure what I'm talking about, but it was just that important. So this week, our movie obviously is Christopher Robin's, and we're looking at getting joy back into our life. When life gets out of balance, which it does for a lot of us, probably the majority, probably all of us, at some point our lives get out of balance, we need the steps to get our joy back into life. The movie begins with Christopher Robin. He's being sent off to boarding school. And what he does is he tells Pooh that he will never forget him. And through some quick time flashes, we see Christopher Robin's being bullied as he goes through school. We see his father pass away. We see he goes off to war, and then he gets married, and then he has a daughter, and then he enters the workforce. And what we see in Christopher Robin's life is that through all of these things, as life has a tendency to do, it begins to steal the joy from him. And it's a terrible way to live life without joy, because not having joy is not really living. In fact, you might want to write this down on your notes or fill it in. Many people don't enjoy life, they just endure it. I don't know if that's you. That could be. Are you just enduring life? Are you just going through the motions because there's no joy that's there? I believe this is something that all of us need to pay attention to, because life can harden us. Life, first of all, is hard. but then life can harden our hearts. So if we don't, we have to continually address this in our lives, or what will happen is we start living without joy because we start living in the hardness of life. Joy is something we need to choose every single day. Scripture tells us this in Psalms 118. It says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will be full of joy and delight in it. And other translations, we will choose to rejoice is what it's saying. We all have that choice where we choose to be joyful in today. It is our choice. Another fill-in is this. Life is something we endure when we're out of balance. A lot of people don't enjoy life and they just endure it. And what happens usually is when we're just enduring life, it's usually because we're out of balance. And maybe you can relate with Job in the Old Testament, who he writes this. He says, my days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy. In other words, you ever feel like life is so busy that as you look, days just seem to be flying by, but you don't have the joy of being present in the process. It's just life is like a vapor and it's going away and there's no joy in it. This is what we see in Christopher Robin's life. We find Christopher Robin consumed with the demands of work, requiring late nights, broken promises, and no joy. And joyless is no way to live, because first of all, without joy, it's hard to see the life that's around us. When we don't have joy, we become unaware of the life that is going on around us. Christopher Robin's boss places great demands on him, demands that require him to work late at night, demands that pull him away from the family, and his boss also makes demands on him that cause him to break promises that he's made to his wife and his kids. When our life is out of balance, what tends to happen is it just passes us by. We're not even aware of what we're missing out on, actually. In the clip, Christopher Robin's wife, Evelyn, tells him, your life is happening right now, it's here, it's right in front of you, and you're missing it. But it's a great question that all of us need to ask. Have we lost perspective of what's important in life? Are we missing out on life? Is life just going by and we're really so detached that we're not even aware of it? We start making excuses that one day everything will be better, everything will be different. But they're just excuses, really. In the movie, Pooh's story seems to parallel Christopher's. And what we do is we find Pooh venturing out looking for his friends. Everyone seems to be missing, and Pooh is full of wise statements that seem to speak to Christopher's condition. Now, joyless is no way to live, because without joy, it's easy to lose your way. It was important to Pooh that he would find his friends. It was important to Christopher Robbins that he get back to work. What is important to us is so different. All of us have different things that are important. But when we lose perspective in life, what's important to us is no longer really what's important to other people. Or we put a greater importance on something that our family or our loved ones have no importance, or they place no importance on. When we're out of balance, we put our profession before people in our lives. And here's a problem with losing perspective. It starts out simply as having different values, but it's a slow disconnect from the people that we love. We forget that we work to provide for our family and for the people that we love. And what happens is we begin to work for the satisfaction of the work. We lose perspective because we believe that what we have, we have to work more and more to provide for it, to have it. If you want to get perspective back in your life, remember that God is your provider. We have to live with a gratitude for all that God has done for us. And when we have that perspective, when we say, hey, you know what? I recognize with a gratitude that all that I have has been from God, then it begins to change the perspective in our life and it puts balance back into our lives. Psalms 126 says this, the Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. And joy comes, it's a byproduct of remembering that God has always been your provider throughout life. It's not been how hard you've worked, God has blessed you. So how do we get our joy back? I would say the first thing we need to do, if you're out of balance and if you've lost your joy in life, how do you get your joy back? Your joy back, you have to recognize, first of all, what steals your joy. You have to recognize what is it that steals the joy in your life. While looking for their friends, Christopher Robin and Pooh, they're looking for their friends, and they come upon a sign that concerns Pooh. Beware of the Heffalumps and the Woozles. Those are the monsters that steal your joy. Christopher Robin had grown to forget about the things that steal his joy. He's become blind to these dangers. He's become blind to all the things that he taught Pooh himself. But this can happen to us as well. We forget to stay away from the things that are actually responsible for stealing the joy in our lives. And I just wanted to mention a couple of them that I think are really important we've got to address in our lives if we want to have joy. And the first one is if the joy killers that we need to stay away from are our worries, the worries in life that you have. Jesus talked about it, and he said this. He said to his disciples, I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or about your body, what you're going to wear. Life is more important than food, and your body is more important than clothes. He says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable to you are you to them? He says that we have to be aware that the birds, who of us by worrying can add a single hour to our life? The truth is, worrying doesn't change things. Worry is something that we need to be aware of, not just to be aware that it exists, but we need to stay away from it. Another joy killer is this, our whys. Basically, our questions. A lot of us have questions that we ask, things like, why is this happening in my life? I don't understand why. It's a natural thing for us to ask these questions, but a lot of us get lost in these questions of, why is this going on in my life? And as long as we keep looking for the whys, we're never going to discover the solution. And the solution is trusting God. We try to make sense of something that will not make sense. We try to find an answer to something that we're never going to get answers to. Isaiah says this. This is what God says. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. He says that my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We try to figure something out as if we can understand exactly what God is doing. And most of the time, that's not the case. And when we keep asking these why questions, we get lost. Another way we get our joy back is this. We choose what's important over what's urgent. There's always going to be urgent things in our lives, but urgent should never trump what's important. Towards the end of the movie, Christopher Robin is beginning to come around to his original version of himself. He's starting to believe. All the things that he's taught Pooh are starting to come back to him. And he's given this report at work. He's forced to choose what is really important over what is actually urgent. To reconnect with joy, we have to reconnect with what's most important in our lives. For Christopher Robin, his daughter goes missing. He doesn't know where, they don't know where she's at. This is way more important because it's who's important. There will always be urgent things to deal with, but urgent is a distraction to what is important in our lives. And a lot of times what happens is we allow urgent to trump and be more important than what is actually important. So for us, we have to reestablish what's important. That we have to reestablish the priorities in our life, that God is actually number one. Family is actually number two. Others are number three. The Pharisees, they were trying to test Jesus. And they asked him, what was the most important thing? And he said, you remember, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. What's most important in your life will be your source of joy. It will be what provides your life joy. What you establish as the most important thing will be what brings your life the joy that it brings. It will also be what brings your life the balance that you're looking for. But work is not designed to bring your life balance, nor is work designed to bring your life joy. Those are things that God has to be number one with. Another way we get our joy back is we have to have the courage to face the woozles in our life. And we all have them. Christopher Robin is forced to face the giant that has stolen his joy. At some point, we have to face the woozles in our lives. We have to deal with the very thing that's bringing imbalance in our lives. We have to reestablish the priorities. We have to reestablish or set boundaries in our lives. And that takes courage. And listen, I'm not telling you that this gives you the opportunity to tell your boss off. That's not what I'm saying. Because here's the deal. The woozle is us. We have to address what we have allowed. We are the ones that establish our priorities. And sometimes it's most difficult to face ourselves. The person that worry has caused us to become. Worry is this big thing that keeps us from joy. It really is. And I just want to address some things that I think are important that we have to deal with if we're going to find joy. Paul talks about it, obviously, in Philippians, where he says, don't worry about anything. And in our lives, we won't worry about anything when we pray about everything that concerns us. It's really easy to say, don't worry about something. But the truth is, we'll stop worrying when we start praying about everything that concerns us. That's what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need. And God is not interested in your elaborate expressions or in your vocabulary. He wants us to ask him for what we need and to trust him that he'll provide it. Paul says that this way. He says that our God responds to prayer, so pray. But that's our choice. And again, if worry removes joy, then prayer supplies it. We also won't worry about anything when we thank him for everything he's already done. When we live in an awareness that God is our provider and that God has given us, and we live out of a grateful heart of all that we have, not all that we like, but all that we have been given. Philippians 4:6 goes on to say this, tell God what you need and then thank him for all that he's done. Trusting God gives us peace. It's a calm that is established within us when we're confident that nothing happens in our lives that God has not allowed for and there's a purpose for. God wants our hearts to be at ease and so we can experience this joy. Paul also says that we don't have to worry about the worst possible outcome when we know who's with us. If you want to remove worry, then we have to look at the issue. We don't have to worry when we're aware that God is always with us. We forget that the very best place to be is with God. And when we choose to worry, we kind of remove God from our circumstances. We remove God from what's going on around us, and we look at the worst case scenario that we could possibly face. Psalm 16 tells us this, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. There's joy in living with God. You don't have to worry also about what you have when you know who really satisfies. A lot of our worries come because we're afraid of what we're going to lose or what we don't have, and we have to work harder, and how am I going to get? But you don't have to worry when you realize that what you have has been provided to you by God himself. Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. And here's the secret. He goes on at the very end and he says this, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. God meets all of our needs. And I feel like we've got to reconnect to that. We've got to understand it. Or we're going to always be trying to attain more. We're always going to be trying to have what we think is important. And it's a slow disconnect from all the things and all the people around us that love us so much. When I know that God meets my needs, I become convinced that he is all that I need. And have you found that to be true in your life, that God is all that you need? See, you can choose joy. We can choose joy, but here's the issue. We can choose joy when God is most important in our lives. We can choose joy when we're grateful for all that he's done in our lives. We can choose joy when we recognize that God is our source for all that we have. And then once we do those things, then we understand and experience this verse in Nehemiah that tells us this, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want balance in your life? You want a sense of stability in your life? It doesn't happen because you're trying to work to get more. It doesn't happen because you're trying to manage everything. It doesn't happen through more busyness. It comes from having priorities that put God first, from recognizing all that God has done for you, for being grateful for all that you have, and recognizing that all that you will ever have is provided to you by God himself. This is a subject that all of us need to deal with at some point. In some way, we all need to deal with it in our own lives, because life is busy. Life is hard, but we choose whether it makes us hard, and we choose if it makes us distracted. I'm not telling you today how much you should work. I'm not telling you how much you shouldn't work. I'm not telling you that your life is out of balance. But I can tell you who can tell you your life is out of balance. And that's your family, those that love you. you would do well to listen to them. You would do well to surrender to God's plan for your life. I'm not telling you to put your family first. I'm telling you to put God first. When you put God first, you will love your family the way they need to be loved. I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you're processing or what's going on in your life, but I believe that God's speaking to us because it's a relevant issue. Let him speak to you. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and just, you know our lives, and you know the demands and the things that we face. Father, for some of us, life has made us hard. It's hardened our hearts. Father, for some of us, the imbalance of our lives has brought weakness. It's changed our values. No longer do we work to provide for those that we love. Now we love what we work for. And Father, none of it was done intentionally. It's just, we know we need to deal with this. So Father, I ask first of all that you would, for those that have never made you first in their lives, they've never had relationship with you, as you hear them talking to you, as they tell you that they want you to be number one, as they tell you that they want their life to be about you, that they want to do life with you, Father, I ask that you would begin that with them today and that you would allow them to experience your joy. Allow them to experience your presence. Allow them to have a sense of peace in their life that they can't explain. That happens because we trust you and we know that nothing happens in our lives that you have not allowed with purpose. And Father, for those of us that have allowed maybe the urgent to replace what's important, help us to find our way back. Help us to set boundaries. Help us to choose not to worry, but rather than worry, help us to pray. Help us to live with gratitude. Help us to live with awareness of your presence with us. Father, you know us intimately. You know our lives. And so today, we need strength. We need strength for the journey. Father, may your joy be our strength. May it bring balance. May it bring stability. May it allow us to actually enjoy the life that you've given to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.